Chapter 2. The Easy Method. The object of this book is to get you into the frame of mind in which, instead of feeling like you're climbing Mount Everest and spending the next few weeks craving a cigarette and envying other smokers, you start right away with a feeling of elation, as if you had been cured of a terrible disease. From then on, the further you go through life, the more you will look at cigarettes and wonder how you ever smoked them in the first place. You will look at smokers with pity as opposed to envy. Provided that you are not a non-smoker or an ex-smoker, it is essential to keep smoking until you finish the book completely. This may appear to be a contradiction. Later, I'll explain that cigarettes do absolutely nothing for you at all. In fact, one of the many conundrums about smoking is that when we're actually smoking a cigarette, we look at it and wonder why we're doing it. It is only when we are deprived that the cigarette becomes precious. However, let us accept that, whether you like it or not, you believe you're hooked. When you believe you're hooked, you can never be completely relaxed or concentrate properly unless you're smoking. So don't attempt to stop smoking before you finish the whole book. As you listen further, your desire to smoke will gradually be reduced. Don't go off half-cocked. This could be fatal. Remember, all you have to do is follow the instructions. With the benefit of almost 20 years' feedback since the book's original publication, this instruction to continue to smoke until you have completed the book has caused me more frustration than any other. When I first stopped smoking, many of my relatives and friends stopped, purely because I had done it. They thought, if he can do it, anybody can. Over the years, by dropping little hints, I managed to persuade the ones that hadn't stopped to realize just how nice it is to be free. When the book was first printed, I gave copies to the hardcore who were still puffing away. I worked on the basis that even if it were the most boring book ever written, they would still read it, if only because it had been written by a friend. I was surprised and hurt to learn that, months later, they hadn't bothered to finish the book. I even discovered that someone who was then my closest friend had not only ignored the original copy I had signed and given to him, but had actually given it away. I was hurt at the time, but I'd overlooked the dreadful fear that slavery to the weed instills in the smoker. It can transcend friendship. It nearly provoked a divorce because of it. My mother once said to my wife, "Why don't you threaten to leave him if he doesn't stop smoking?" My wife said, "Because he'd leave me if I did." I'm ashamed to admit it, but I believe she was right. Such is the fear that smoking creates. I now realize that many smokers don't finish the book because they feel they've got to stop smoking when they do. Some deliberately read only one line a day in order to postpone the evil day. Now, I'm fully aware that many readers are having their arms twisted by people who love them to listen to this book. Look at it this way. What have you got to lose? If you don't stop at the end of the book, you're no worse off than you are now. You have absolutely nothing to lose and so much to gain. Incidentally, if you've not smoked for a few days or weeks, but are not sure whether you're a smoker, an ex-smoker, or a non-smoker, then don't smoke while you listen. In fact, you are already a non-smoker. All we've got to do is to let your brain catch up with your body. By the end of the book, you'll be a happy non-smoker. Basically, my method is the complete opposite of the normal method of trying to stop. The normal method is to list the considerable disadvantages of smoking and say, if only I can go long enough without a cigarette, eventually the desire to smoke will go. I can then enjoy life again, free of slavery to the weed. This is the logical way to go about it, and thousands of smokers are stopping every day using variations of this method. However, it is very difficult to succeed using this method for the following reasons. 1. Stopping smoking is not the real problem. Every time you put a cigarette out, you stop smoking. You may have powerful reasons on day one to say, I don't want to smoke any more. All smokers have, every day of their lives, and the reasons are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. The real problem is day two, day 10, or day 10,000, when in a weak moment, an inebriated moment, or even a strong moment, you have one cigarette, and then you want another. And suddenly, you're a smoker again. Two, the health scares should stop us. Our rational minds say, stop doing it, you're a fool. But in fact, the health scares make it harder. We smoke, for example, when we're nervous. Tell smokers that cigarettes are killing them, and the first thing they will do is light one. There are more cigarette butts outside the Royal Marsden Hospital, England's foremost cancer treatment establishment, than outside any other hospital in the country. Three, all reasons for stopping actually make it harder for two other reasons. First, they create a sense of sacrifice. We're always being forced to give up our little friend or prop or vice or pleasure, whichever way the smoker sees it. Secondly, they create a blind. We don't smoke because we don't understand the reasons we should stop. The real question is, why do we want or need to do it? The easy method is basically this. Initially, to forget the reasons we'd like to stop, to face the cigarette problem, and to ask ourselves the following questions. 1. What is it doing for me? 2. Do I actually enjoy it? And 3. Do I really need to go through life paying through the nose just to stick these things in my mouth and suffocate myself? The beautiful truth is that it does absolutely nothing for you at all. Let me make it quite clear. I don't mean that the disadvantages of being a smoker outweigh the advantages. All smokers know that all their lives. I mean there are not any advantages from smoking. The only advantage it ever had was the social plus. Nowadays, even smokers themselves regard it as an antisocial habit. Most smokers find it necessary to rationalize why they smoke. But the reasons are all fallacies and illusions. The first thing we're going to do is to remove these fallacies and illusions. In fact, you'll realize that there is nothing to give up. Not only is there nothing to give up, but there are also marvelous positive gains from being a non-smoker. And health and money are only two of these. Once the illusion that life will never be quite as enjoyable without the cigarette is removed, once you realize that not only is life just as enjoyable without it, but infinitely more so, once the feeling of being deprived or of missing out is eradicated, then we can go back to reconsider the health and money, and the dozens of other reasons for stopping smoking. These realizations will become positive additional aids to help you achieve what you really desire, to enjoy the whole of your life, free from the slavery of the weed.